Heightsville Conference, 1982, Saturday afternoon, September 18th. The speaker is James Martin. The portion he's reading is John chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. There's a brief gap in the tape at this point. Please just wait for the reading to continue.
Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as the wood. When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down onto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking in the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received them into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. And the reading ends at verse 21. We know it is with the Lord's blessing. I've had an exercise for about a week now in coming to this conference to speak a word to the young. I want to speak to the young believer. I suppose a word to the old will not be out of place, but you know, when you get up in years, it's very hard to change. You can always bend a young twig, but when you get a big tree of 15 years or 20 years, it's just beyond the bending. It has got its way set. And the possibilities of a whole lot of the Christians here, including the speaker, and we're likely set as long as we're going to be here. But if we could help you young brethren and young sisters, we would just like to do it. And I want to leave 5 words with you. Verse number 9. There is a lad here. And I hope that that is the case, that there is a lad here. Now, whenever you young brethren and sisters are reading your Bible, it's very important that you look at it in a threefold aspect. First of all, look at it historically. And as you read a portion like this, see the historical setting of it. What really happened, and how the 5,000 were fed, and how that the disciples were out on the wee boat whenever the Lord was up in the mountain alone, and how he came down and he calmed the storms. Nobody can calm the storms of life, you know, like the Savior. Sometimes it's good to have a good brother or sister to help you, but there's none can do it like Christ. He can surely calm the storm. Then when we have looked at it historically, it's very important to look at it prophetically, and to view it in its future aspect. And I think if you look at these verses here, you'll see that the sea is mentioned twice in the readings we've had. In verse number 1, It's the same sea as our brother mentioned this morning, the Catullus. It's the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Mentioned twice in John's Gospel only under the name of Tiberias. And we notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, he went over the sea. I think that's a lovely picture of Calvary. The sea speaks of separation and trouble, you know. And no one had such trouble and tribulation and separation as the Savior had when he went to Calvary for you and me to die. So keep that in your mind. And then after the sea experience is over, we have him yonder teaching his disciples on the mountain, the place of elevation. And right from there, he sees the need of the multitude. And from there, he makes the declaration that the need of the 5,000 should be met. And they are met. And then immediately after that, they're going to make him king. Not make him the king. No, not the king. They're going to make him a king. Now, why are they doing it? Out of selfishness, to try and oppose the Roman power at that time. That's what they're out for. When he saw them do that, he went to the mountain, and this time he's alone. He's doing high priestly work. He's up yonder in the mountain alone, doing a work that he alone could do. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ could not be a high priest on earth. He had to be a high priest in heaven. So Hebrews tells us. And the mountain speaks of the elevated place. And while he's up there, we'll find the disciples get into their ship. And they're crossing over, and they have the awful torment, torrential winds and the contrary winds and the storms are beating upon them. And everything is dark. That's Israel going through the great tribulation. And he waits till the very end of the voyage, and he steps in onto the sea, and the first time he crossed it, and the second time he walks upon it. Full control of the nations. But the sea speaks of the nations. Full control. And he walks with full control, his everything in his hand. When the Lord comes back in manifestation, he will take full control. He'll take full control. And then I want you to note, he said it is I. They rejected him the first time he came to put him upon a cross. But this time, what did they do? They willingly received him into the boat. And when he comes back and manifests in glory, Israel will receive him. And they'll give him his rightful place as king. Now that's just the prophetical outlook. Quick, a wee quick scan. I want to look at it practically. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John all together mention this experience of the feeding of the 5,000. There's only one of the four, and that is John, mentions the lad. And that's very significant. Matthew is the only one who tells us there are 5,000 men, and beside that women and children. And I'm going to suggest if all the men were married, and if all the men and women had one child, then there was 15,000. And all their needs were met. According to Matthew. I want you to note that Luke tells us that we're made to sit down in companies of 50. And then after that we'll have the great act taking place. Now, I want you to comment very simply, look, we've got a people in need. A people in need. And you know, you can put it to the people of God today if you like. Or you can put it out to the world today if you like. God's people is a needy people. I hope, my brother and sister, you recognize your need. You can never be helped if you don't know your need. A sinner can never be saved until he learns his need. And they have never seen their need of Christ, they can never have Christ. This is very important. So I want you to know, we have got a people of need. It says in verse number 2, a great multitude. In verse number 5, it says, a great company. In verse number 12, is it? Verse number 10, 5,000. There was 5,000 of them. A people in great need. And the Savior saw them before the disciples saw them. You see, brothers and sisters, the Lord knows your need before the servants of God know it.
Before any of the Christians know it, the Lord knows your need and sees you exactly where you are in your need. And I know you came here today, and I know you came for an object, that you might get help, and I hope you do, that you might be blessed, and I pray you will be. But I say the first thing is this, you'll have to realize I'm a needy believer, and therefore, there's an eye upon me, and if I'm willing to do as I'm told, I can get that need met.
Now, I want you to note in verse number 6, with the Lord Jesus Christ proving Philip. He knew what he would do, because you see, Matthew gives the king, and Mark presents the servant, and Luke presents the perfect man, but John tells us of God, and as God he knew all things, and as God he knew what he would do, there was no emergency. There was nothing taken upon him by surprise. He knew exactly how he would meet the need of that vast company. And I want to tell you today, the Lord knows exactly how he's going to meet your need, my brother, my sister, both old and young. God knows how he's going to meet the need. He said to Philip, he says, verse number 5, he says, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And you've got Philip, a lover of horses. That's what his name means, a lover of horses. And you know what he did? He began to price the thing. Began to price it. My brethren and sisters, whenever you begin to price the things of God, you're down. Never put a price on the things of God. 200 penny worth of bread. 200 penny worth. It's not sufficient to give everyone a little. A little. Oh, I want to tell you, when the Lord feeds, he doesn't feed the little. He feeds plentifully. He feeds bountifully. And he meets every need and plenty over. Plenty over. So we'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ here, he's proving Philip. He's proving him what he's going to do. And I want to tell you, brother, he'll prove you. Yes. God tests his people. And he'll bring you to straits of testing and trial. I don't know what it might be and what case it might be. Maybe there's some of you here and you say, well, thank God, I have had no trouble. I have had a lovely pathway from God saved me. Are you listening, brother? Are you listening, sister? It's coming. It's coming. And you'll have the dark day. And you'll have the trouble. And you'll have the trial. And you'll have the sorrow. And you'll know your need of Christ. If you've never met it before, you'll know it. You know, sometimes whenever a person's saved and they're living in the good of their first love, it's sad we ever left it, isn't it? Sad we ever left our first love. When we were so humble, and when we were so simple, and the Lord meant so much to us. And when we begin to think about Calvary where he died, there was a lump in our throat, and there was a tear in our eye, and we just felt how much we loved him because how much he loved us. But you know, we've got away from it now. And even when we're giving thanks to God and praying, we can do it, and we have so much to say, and the whole thing is over. You know, there's not a big lot of a touch with it. Sure there's not. Oh my, to get back to our first love, and just to be able to say, as Peter said in chapter 21 of John, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I surely love thee. I love thee. So we'll have the Lord Jesus Christ proving Philip. And then we'll have Philip, and he's beginning to price. He's a lover of horses, and you know, the lover of horses thought of a dealer. And he always wants to see the value of a thing. A man's going to buy or sell horses, you know, he wants to know the price of them. If he's going to buy or sell motor cars, he wants to know the price of them. What he's buying of them, if he's going to sell it good. You see, the pricing. That spirit getting into the mind. The spirit of pricing. And this man began to price it. And he said 200 penny worth of bread, it just wouldn't be enough now. And I understand it was the Roman penny. It was a man's wages for a day. It would be 200 days wages for one man. And I understand from commentators, not my own, that what was there would have given a very little, to 6,200 pennies worth. Would have given a very little to 6,000. That would, the 5,000 men and some of the children. And the rest would have to go starving, according to Matthew. Just a very little. Wouldn't meet the need at all. But I want you to know verse number 8. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, You know, I want you to think of the proposal of Andrew. And I want to speak a little word to those that are in the oversight in the assembly. And those who are a little older in years than the young ones. And I want to try and give you a word of advice. Andrew means courageous. He noticed the lad. But I noticed what he didn't do. He didn't say, well, I'll not mention it, because I'm jealous of him. You see, brothers and sisters, Andrew brought nothing. He had nothing. And Philip had nothing. And the disciples brought nothing, but there's a wee lad here of something. He had something. But he was young. And because he was young, he would be torn down, you see, and he would be despised. Now, brothers and sisters, and you older brethren, I want to say, if the Lord be not come, the young brethren of today are going to be the older brethren of a future day. And I feel it is your responsibility to watch the young, to see if you can see something in them. They have something that they have. That you will be able to see that something, and see it progressing, and see it developing. Something that you can say is going to be good, and is going to be helpful to God's people. Oh, he was courageous. It took courage to do what he did do. He could have went away to the one side and said, you know, to the young lad, I want to talk to you. I want you to share your lunch with me. I made a mistake and I forgot to bring any. Will you share your lunch with me today? And he could have brought and divided it and said, look, well, I have some here and there's another wee fella and he is nutty. I have three and he has two wee loaves and I have three of them. I have more than him. He didn't do that. But he was courageous. And what did he do? He just said to the Lord, he says, look, there's a lad here. And he has five loaves and two small fishes. You could five. Look down, please, at verse number 9 again. There is, that's present. A lad, that's the person. He's here, that's the place. I want to stop. Young brothers and sisters, tell me. Wouldn't have been sad that day, but he went somewhere else. Oh, sometimes when we get a day off or 2 days off, well, I'm just going to go and enjoy myself. I'm not going to sit all day at a conference, it's too tiring. And I'm not going to listen to that ministry again. And I'm going to go and enjoy myself somewhere else. If this lad would have done that, wouldn't have been too bad. How many would have missed out? But I tell you, it was good to know that this young lad, he was with the disciples, and he was with the people. He was right there on the spot. He was right there in the right place. Could I speak to you, young brothers and sisters? Watch where you go. Watch your company. Watch your movements. Watch your behavior. Watch what you're in possession of. Watch it. I say watch it. You've got a testimony the moment God saved you. You got a great start in life. I got a great start. We got a clean sheet. And there wasn't a mark on it the day that God saved you and saved me. There wasn't a mark on it. And if there's any marks on it, God didn't put them there. You and I have put them there along the way. And it's very, very easy to lose the confidence of God's people. And it's very easy to get like the world. My dear sister, could I speak to you? Do not try to get us near the world not to be in it, please. Don't try to get us near to not to be in it. Oh, that's a tragedy. That is a tragedy. Well, I just don't want to be one of those straight-laced people. I don't want to be that. I just don't want to be considered a real worldling. But I just don't want to be so tightened in as some of these people who tell me to be. I want to tell you, beloved in Christ, I wouldn't ask you to be any tighter than the book asks you to be. Just what God's word says. Just that. There is a lad here, the place. He's got provision. He's got five loaves and two fishes. Five of them. Where did he get them? I want to tell you, the young lad, he had to get the loaves baked. And there was a period of time that those five loaves were in the oven and the door was shut in secret. You want to help God's people, young brother? You'll have to know the oven experience. You'll have to know what it is to be away when all the doors are closed. If you're going to get bread for God's people.
to be a possibility. I'm only going to suggest it to you. Now, don't say Martin went and said that his mommy baked the loaves. Maybe she did. I didn't say she did. Perhaps she did. And maybe when mother was baking the five little loaves with the boy going out that day, for he had an exercise, I'm going out. And I'm going out to see the Savior today. And I'll go with the disciples today. And I'll see the multitude today. And he made preparation for that day. He made preparation for it. Would there be a possibility that when the mother was baking the loaves, he went down to fish? You know, our brawl was telling us this morning about the fish catching fish. Would it be possible down to catch the fish? I'm not looking at it in the same way as preaching the gospel. I'm not looking that way. But you know, he got the line, he threw the line in. And he maybe had to sit a good while. And they come back with two of them. There was a young lad a few weeks ago in America here. And you know, he called his father up to see him over. He says, I've got all I'm allowed to get. I've over 60. We fish and I'm not allowed to catch anymore, according to the law. And he went out 2 or 3 days later. And he didn't get one at all. Didn't get one. You're not always catching, you see. You can put the line in, but you're not always get something. But keep the line in, boy. Keep the line in, girl. Keep it in. Always keep fishing. And there's a hope you're getting something. Sure there is. And he comes back. And the day comes, he's going to go. You know what I'm going to tell you? What he had was personal. It was personal. It was just for himself. It would just tap a young lad of his age and size. It would just keep him going. The 5 wee loaves. Now, I haven't the biggest hand. There's some folk thinks I have a very small hand, they've been telling me. And there's some of the farming men and they have a hand twice the size of mine. But I understand the barley loaves is just about the size of my fist. And there was 5 of them. And mind you, a young fella, after a day out, he could eat 5 of them wee boys all right. And the 2 wee small fish, he could soon devour them. Wouldn't be too long. He just got it for himself. Personal. She's sure he was a selfish wee fella. Was he? If he hadn't got it for himself, he wouldn't have had it for anybody else. And my young brother, if you want to get for God's people, you'll have to get for yourself. And you'll have to know what it is to have the oven experience. And you'll have to know to have the seashore experience. Alone at the seashore. Fishing. Oh, you'll have to be with your Bible, alone with God, if you're going to get the loaves and the fish to meet your need and to meet other needs too. Now, there's no compromise and there's no near cuts to it. And I want to tell you, this has not just gotten overnight. It's not gotten overnight. Anybody who's going to know their Bible, it's a lifetime search. Anyone who wants to help God's people, it's a daily and an hourly exercise before the God of heaven to do it. Oh, you've got to be exercised. I want to stop. Young brother, could I speak to you? Are you here? Is there a lad here today? Have you got something? You got something? Do you know what Andrew said? What's it among so many? First of all, he says it's a lad, yes. It's no good. It's no good. No, turn them down. Pessimism! Pessimism! He turned them down and after he said he has got 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he just, pessimism. Not enough. You know what I'm going to tell you? When I was a young believer, and I've gone back quite a while now, I'm almost 42 years on the road to heaven, and I feel ashamed of all I've learned in 42 years. But when I was back in the old country, and I was just saved, I remember going to my first conference, in the month of July, 1941, and there were preachers there, and they got up and they ministered the word. They weren't using classical Greek. They weren't using Hebrew or Latin. They weren't using any big words, whatever. But they left marks upon me that remain to this present, and they give me something to think about. Would there be a possibility we are living in a day when we need simple facts that all can understand? You don't need to try and say, well, I can't spell that word, and if I could spell it, I'll go home and I'll look at a Knuckles dictionary and see what I've got to say. No, no, you don't need to do that. If we are speaking, we should speak sufficiently clear and plain enough that everybody understands. Very well. This young man here had 5 loaves, and he had 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? He had them prepared, you know. And they were a personal supply. But they were playing. They were playing. They were barley loaves. There wasn't a piece of fruit in it. You know, a wee bit of fruit would have made it nice and tasty, wouldn't it? Or a wee bit of that frost to talk about, putting the frost. We call it icing in the old country. They call it frosting here. But not just to help it, lovely. There was no frosting on them. They were plain loaves. Oh, yes, no frosting on the ministry, please. No dried fruit in the ministry, please. What do I want? Plain barley loaves. And I tell you, the people of God are hungry enough, they'll be glad of it.
They'll be glad of it. A man comes in from the field these days and he's working. They'll be working more than another 3 weeks. And they're coming in, you know, and if they sat them down a wee bottle of 7-Up and one of those wee cookies, he would take a big look at it. That's no good to me. When I want something for a man that's hungry, I want something substantial. And that's what we need today. Something real substantial for the saints of God. A people in need. And the wee fancy cookies wouldn't have helped the need of 5,000 men with their wives and children. It had to be something plain. Good foundation food. Good foundation food. I wonder what kind of food you're getting in your assembly. Are you oversight? Are you afraid to minister straight? Are you afraid to give plain ministry for fear you're not popular? Well, I want to tell you, I have never gone out for popularity. I would rather keep in with God than be popular with anybody. Plain ministry is needed in the day in which we live. And when we speak to sisters, we do not do it harshly, but we do it graciously and kindly. The sister's deportment, the sister's appearance, and the young brethren too. I like to see the sister modestly dressed. Oh no, not the pantsuits. No, no. I'll say more, and not the trouser suits. Not the trouser skirts either. Oh no, that'll not do now. That'll not do. Now it just won't be. That's not convenient. Won't. Nor the men won't be going about in skirts. There's an old preacher in heaven, and he wasn't among us, and know what he said. I'll tell you what he said. He said, I hope I'm not living the day when the women are going about dressed like men, and the men are going about dressed like women. And back in the old country, we have the fellows going down the street with a hair on their shoulders and earrings in, and sets of pearls around their neck. In Ireland, they're there. In the town of Ballymena, I have met them again and again. Trying to look feminine. Let me maintain my character. Let me maintain my sexes. And let the sisters do the same. Plain barley loaves, plain food, is what we need in our day and age. And I want to tell you, brethren and sisters, that I believe there's not one of you here who would like to get the well done on that day, wouldn't you? I know you would like to serve the Lord. I know you'd like to be able to get on with God. And I know you'd like to get the well done on our coming day. From the lips of the Savior, I know you would. Well, brethren, don't wait to them. Sisters, don't wait to them. Young brother, young sister, now's the time. Right now. Now's the time for going in for living for God and leaving your mark for them. You know what I want to tell you? It says in verse number 11, and Jesus took the loaves. He took them. Nothing too small, you see, for the Lord Jesus to take. Oh, preacher, wait a minute. I couldn't get up and pray after so-and-so in our remembrance meeting. Or in the prayer meeting, the way he prays, I just couldn't do it. God never meant you to do it. God meant you just to pray your own way. And you know, whenever there's a newcomer comes into a family, a new arrival, and it comes to a year old, or it comes to 2 year old, you know what happens? Someday when daddy comes home, know what mommy says? She spoke today. What? She spoke today. And if the other ones are talking, keep quiet. But want to hear the wee one's voice. Want to hear the child's voice speaking. And they do everything they can to encourage the child to speak. Nice to hear a new voice. But nice in your assembly to hear a new voice, wouldn't it? Some of the young brethren may be afraid to get up and speak. The
to get up and give God thanks for his lovely son. To get up and give out of him. To get up and read a few scriptures about Calvary where Jesus died. Oh, my dear young brother, I would like to encourage you. I'd like to encourage you. Nothing is too small for the Lord, says Philip. 200 pennyworth is too little. Says Andrew, it's not sufficient to meet the need of these people. Says the Lord, where is it? Give it to me. Give it to me. You know, did you ever think what would have happened if the wee fellow would have refused to give it? And said, look, I had a lot of bother. And my mommy baked these. And I was way out there fishing. And it's my loaves and it's my fish. And I'm just going to keep them for myself and use what I looked after yourselves. If the young fellow would have done that, wouldn't have been terrible. My young brother, my young sister, I want to tell you what a blessing you can be to the saints. What a blessing you can be to the saints if you would only give to the Lord. Now, I want you to note another little thing here. The lad wasn't proclaiming what he had. He wasn't going about and blowing his horn. He wasn't tooting his own horn, as we sometimes say in Ireland. And they always say, could you give us chapter and verse for tooting your own horn and not for toot it? But I want to tell you, he wasn't tooting his own horn. Andrew talked about him. He didn't go about and say, but I tell you, I've got. I have a bag over here. And I have a lot of stuff in it. No, no. I want to speak to you that do get up and give a wee word. Hey, listening. Never get up and say, brethren, the Holy Spirit, give me this. And the Lord, give me that. You'll not be up 5 minutes till God knows whether you got it from the Holy Spirit or not. And you'll not be up 10 minutes till you'll know yourself whether you either got it or not. And I would just say, leave that to the Lord and get up humbly. And leave it to the saints to decide if he has something. He did not begin to blow his own horn or proclaim, I have got it. He left it to an older brother who recognized him and could see it. Brethren, are you looking for something in the young brethren? Are you looking for faults? I said somewhere a few weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again. You see, if you don't get up and take any part, and you ask some of the oversight, well, what do you think of so-and-so? I don't believe there's a spark of life in them. They're in the meeting 3 years, and they never get out of him, and they never pray, and they do nothing. They're just sitting there dead. And then the young brother gets up and he tries to pray and ask God to save. Or he gets out and gives out of him. Or he gets up on a Sunday morning to thank God for his lovely son. And maybe it's a wee exercise. He'd like to give a wee word to the saints after the breaking of bread. And you know what to say. He's showing off. Do you know who he's trying to be right now? Did you not note his voice? You see the kind of the voice he has got? Isn't he following somebody else? He's taking patent of somebody else, so he is. So if you get up to take part, you're showing off. And if you don't get up, you're likely not saved. Well, 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 what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I was encouraged when I was young. And there's a brother took me out, and I'll tell you what he did. I've told it before, you know, in America. I'm going to tell it again. He took me out. I was saved on Tuesday. And on the Thursday week, the meetings were over. On the Thursday week, he'd come to the shop in the morning, to the store. And he says, are you off this afternoon? I says, I am. It's a half day, a half holiday. He says, will you go for a ride on the bicycles? I says, yes. And I went on the bicycle with him. And he just got outside the town of Banbridge. And he said to me, I've something for you here to eat. And of course, in my simplicity, I thought he was going to give me some candies. I was as simple as could be. And he put the hand in the pocket and he brought this bag out. And then he opened it. A big bunch of tracts. Gospel tracts. And he just divided it in two. And he handed a bunch to me. And he says, now look, I'm taking this side of the street and you take that side and go over to the long door and knock the long door. And whoever comes out, give them that gospel tract and tell them that you're saved. I tell you, that is a tall order. I was only about 8 days or 9 days saved. That is a tall order to do that. And I must admit, though nobody came to the first door. You know for why? I knocked it so gentle, nobody could hear it. I knocked it so gentle, nobody could hear it. Oh, it was a wee gentle knock, I give it. And then I was able to do postman, and I got the track in. And I come away and I closed the gate. I said, that's well done. That is well done. But I come to the next door.
And I was going to the door and I saw a head lifted up in the flower garden. And here there's a lady out and shot her wee grape and she was fixing among the flowers. And she said, well, young man, can I help you? I nearly fainted. And I tell you, I wasn't able to talk to you. Well, I nearly took an impediment. I looked at her and I said, I have a gospel track. And she put up the hand, she took it. Oh, she says, good. You're doing a great work. Are you saved? I said, yes. Are you long saved? I says, last Tuesday week. Well, that's good. You get at it, young Bob. Keep at it. God bless you. And I pray when I'm at the garden here. You know what I'm going to tell you? She just had her hand in the back and she gave me a push up the road and just started me going. And many a thousand tracks to get out after that. Could I help you, young Brennan? Don't be sitting at home and twiddling your fingers. Don't be using your dollars in some of the restaurants. Have you an extra few dollars? Get a lot of good gospel tracts and get out and give them out. Says you, I'm not gifted. Oh, but I'm not gifted. You try it. You try it. And I'm not gifted to speak to people individually. You try it. You try to see how it works. And you'll soon get to know what you can do. And there's an old woman and she needs a wee bit of visiting. Have you called to see her? You sisters, young sisters, ever think of going up? Well, she's an old, old woman and I just can't be bothered. You go and visit her. And take your Bible with you. And read her a nice wee psalm. And talk to her. I don't ask you to get down to pray. No, I don't ask you to do that. The possibility she'll help you. I got some of my best learning from an old sister who was arthritic in Newcastle, Northern Ireland. And I used to sit at her feet and she used to have the fingers twisted and she said, James, this is how the Old Testament ends. This is how the New Testament ends. And she sat me going when I was only 2 years on the road to heaven. And I owe a whole lot to an old sister. Man, someone could teach you. Young brother, young sister, there's work to do. Something that you can do. No, he didn't proclaim it. And the Lord Jesus Christ took it. He took it up in his hands. What did he take up? He just took exactly what the boy had. And there's 5,000 men, and there's the women and children, and they're all there. And the Savior says, get them to sit down. You know, I want to tell you, the Lord demands reverence. It's nice to see the saints of God quieted and seated. And I like to see that in a gospel meeting. My brother and I, Roy, are having meetings over in Omaha, and that has been a thing I've noticed. A few nights in the past 2 weeks, there has been a hush in seasons of the meeting. I like that. When there's a godly reverence there, even among the unsaved, there's a hush. That's the prelude to blessing. You get them to sit down. And they all sat. I don't know whether they closed their eyes or not, but the Savior, I believe, did. And he lifted his eyes to heaven where the true bread comes from. And with his hands uplifted, and the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he blessed. And in the hand of Christ, it was multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. I'm going to give you a wee bit of calculation. Are you on? 5,000 men and 5 loaves. A wee loaf for every 1,000. A wee loaf for every 1,000. Oh my. How many's going to be out? There's going to be one hungry man just got a wee loaf. And there's going to be 999 never got a bite. If it stays with the lad, if he hands them out to the people. But no, he didn't give them to the people. He gave it to the Lord. He gave it to the Lord. That's the big thing. Give it to the Lord. And he handed it to the Lord. And the Lord blessed it. And he distributed to the disciples. Oh, what? What are they doing? It's not enough to go among so many. What's this among so many? Andrew! Tell me, are you actually lifting the bread that the boy brought and the fishes? Yes, but there's a big change now. It has been in the hand of Christ. And he has blessed it. And that makes a difference. That makes a difference. Young brother, young sister, whatever you're going to do, do it for Christ. Do it for the Lord. Get your eye upon heaven and do it there out of love to Christ. And if you do, you'll be a blessing to the saints of God. I have no doubt about it. You'll be a blessing. And they all were filled. There wasn't one in empty.
I think I see the Savior watching. Now the disciples are doing their work in service. Lovely service. And they're serving. And after they've served, he says, gather up the fragments. Nothing should be lost. Nothing lost. Watch, brother, your ministry's not lost. Watch, young brother, your ministry's not lost. Believers in Christ today, watch that there's nothing lost in the assembly. He says, gather up the fragments that remain. No man in the gathered? 12 baskets. Would not occur a rebuke. 12 disciples? A basket each. A basket each. At the beginning, they had nothing. But when the Lord took in hand, and they did their little service, they didn't do it for naught. Ah, listen, brothers and sisters, you'll get your reward. And I'll get my reward. And the day of reward's coming. To get the well done. From the best of masters. You know, it'll soon all be over. And soon the little assemblies of earth will be done away with. And we're going to be raptured home to see himself. There's only one life that'll soon be passed. And it's only what's done for Christ will last. And what it must have been for that lad to be brought to Christ and to stand and to look into the face of the Savior and to look at those hands that will soon be nailed to Calvary and to place all he had, into the hands that will soon be nailed to the cross. Would he regret it? I tell you nay, he would never regret it. I love the words of the poet. By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. More, oh, so much more, more of my life than I ever gave before. By and by, when I look in his face, I'll wish I had given him more. By and by, when he holds forth his hands, nail-riven hands, wonderful hands. By and by, when he holds forth his hands, I wish I had given him more. More, oh, so much more. More of my love than I ever gave before. By and by, when I look on his hand, I wish I had given him more. I wonder, when the day comes, and I look at him and he looks at me, will I be regretting? When I look at him, he looks at me, will I blush? Will you regret, brother? Will you regret, sister? Will you blush? By and by, will you look into his face and you say, that's the man who died for me. And those are the hands that were nailed for me. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't give him all. You know what I'm going to tell you? It says about Jacob, he gave a tenth. In Luke chapter 9, it says about the rich, they give of their plenty. It says of the old widow, she gave all that she had, and here's a boy. He held nothing back. He gave all. Are you prepared today? There is a lad here. There's a girl here, a sister in Christ. God help you to give and to give to the Lord. May God bless his word.